Good morning and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, partner in charge of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. We created the center in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at www.businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Radio Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our special guest this morning is Keith Pettigo, Director, Loan Guarantee Service at the Department of Veterans Affairs. Good morning, Keith.
Good morning, Paul.
And joining us in our conversation also from IBM is Maria Barrientos. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning, Paul.
Well, Keith, let's give our readers some context. Could we start by talking about the Department of Veterans Affairs and the services it provides?
The Department of Veterans Affairs, if it were in the private sector, would be number two on the Fortune 500. It is the second largest agency in government, second only to the Department of Defense. And as you probably know, the VA provides a broad array of benefits to veterans in three categories. We have medical benefits. We administer the largest medical provider in the country, which is our Veterans Health Administration. We have 158 hospitals, about 854 community-based outpatient clinics, and 132 nursing homes that we administer. We also have the Veterans Benefits Administration, which is an agency that administers five benefit programs to veterans. The Compensation and Pension Program, which provides pensions and compensation payments to disabled veterans. The VA Home Loan Program. We have an education program that provides money for veterans to go to college. A vocational rehabilitation and counseling program. And an insurance program. And what many people don't realize is that we also have a third element that administers 120 national cemeteries where veterans can be buried. So it's a very large organization, a diverse one, and its mission is to serve veterans' needs.
Okay, well, moving through the organization, could you tell us about Loan Guarantee Service, where in the organization it fits, and then how do you think about its size in terms of its budget, the number of employees?
Well, the Loan Guarantee Program is part of the Veterans Benefits Administration, which administers five benefits to veterans. The loan program is administered out of nine regional loan centers and two small operations in San Juan, Puerto Rico, and Honolulu, Hawaii. Of course, we have a headquarters office also. We have a total of about 800 employees nationwide that are involved in administering this program. We have an annual budget of about $600 million, and most of the money in that budget goes to pay for foreclosures that take place in our program. We have additional programs that we administer. For example, we have a specially adapted housing program that provides grants to seriously disabled veterans to allow them to adapt their homes to wheelchair use. And we have a Native American direct loan program that provides direct loans to Native American veterans who want to buy, build, or improve a home on reservation land.
Moving on to what your role and your responsibilities are within Loan Guarantee, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, as the director of the Loan Guarantee Service, I am responsible primarily for the promulgation of procedures and policies for the program. I have a staff of about 101 people, most of them located in Washington, D.C., in our headquarters. And our role is to craft the policy and the procedures that are used by the nine regional loan centers who actually administer the benefit around the country.
Very interesting things about your career is that you've been with VA loans for over 30 years. And you started as a loan examiner to an officer, now as director of the Loan Guarantee Service. Can you tell us what the transition was like and how you have applied your experience to your current position?
As you said, I did start as a loan examiner in the VA regional office in Chicago. I spent about 2.5 years doing that work. And then I had the opportunity to come to Washington to work on the policy staff. I made a decision at that point to try to get exposed to as many aspects of the VA home loan program as possible. So over the course of the next 9 years, I worked in virtually every aspect of the VA program. And the knowledge and experience that I gained during those years served as a springboard for me to take on positions of greater responsibility, which included being the loan guarantee officer for the VA program in the state of Illinois, And then for the last 18 years as the director of the program. I think that in most people's careers, they find that their early experience helps prepare them for the positions that they take later on. Certainly, that was the case for me. As the director of the program, it's very important for me to be familiar not only with VA policy, but also with the industry that we serve. And the VA program is, in effect, a government version of a large mortgage and real estate company. So it's imperative that I remain abreast of what's going on in the mortgage and real estate sales industry. So I spend a great deal of my time trying to acquire knowledge of what's going on presently in those industries.
With 18 years in your role as director, under how many secretaries have you served?
The VA, the Department of Veterans Affairs, between 1930 and 1989 was known as the Veterans Administration. And then during that period of time, the head of the agency was known as the Administrator of Veterans Affairs. And I served under six administrators. When we became cabinet level in 1989, since that point in time, we've had four secretaries. So I guess I've served under six administrators and four secretaries.
As you think about those folks, perhaps you would reflect for a minute about the different leadership styles they had and the qualities of an effective leader. Anyone stand out in particular, and what were their styles like?
Well, we've had a wide variation in styles, as you might imagine. We had some secretaries and administrators who were not hands-on leaders. They preferred to handle the big picture issues, to make appearances before Congress, and to deal with the White House and other elements of the government structure. And then we've had some who have been very hands-on, who came into their positions with a very strong background in veterans issues. I guess one of the best examples would be our former Secretary of Veterans Affairs, Tony Principi. Tony spent many years on the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee as the staff director, and at one time he was the Director of Congressional Affairs for the VA. And he served in the first Bush administration as the Deputy Secretary of VA. So when he came in as Secretary, he had a vast amount of knowledge about Veterans Affairs. And he tended to be a very hands-on leader who knew a lot about what was going on in the various parts of the VA. I've also served under secretaries who have been just the opposite of that. We recently got a new secretary confirmed by Congress, and that is Secretary Nicholson. And I think Secretary Nicholson also comes to the VA with an extensive background in veterans issues, so I expect that he's going to be a hands-on leader also.
Now, in your long career in the different positions, how has your management style changed?
I've thought about that. I've never been one to sit down and analyze my own management style, but as I think about it presently, I think I would be considered to be a hands-on manager. I've gone to great lengths over my career to acquire a lot of knowledge about the VA home loan program as well as the industry that we deal with. And I spend a lot of my time each day talking with my staff to make sure that I keep abreast of the major issues. So I would say hands-on manager, not only early in my career, but still today.
Well, let me ask you about a couple of the challenges that managers in general face, and I guess as a hands-on manager, you might in particular. One of the issues, the challenges people have is having enough spare time to think. And if you're hands-on, I imagine there's lots of to-dos people like you to help with. So how do you allocate time so that you'll have time to reflect and stay abreast of the industry, as you indicated?
Well, many years ago, I decided that if I was going to live in the Washington area, I wasn't going to drive to the office. Now, I live about 25 miles from the office, and I chose to take public transportation. And over the years, that has afforded me about an hour and 10 minutes in the morning and an hour and a half at night to sit and reflect and do the kinds of things that I wouldn't ordinarily have time to do. So I strongly encourage those who live in this area who don't find that they have that amount of time to consider public transportation.
Well, that's a good best practice. How about another thing, which is people often reflect on, decision-making in the Washington, D.C. area and the speed by which it happens, either too slow or too fast. How do you think about that?
I think in general it's too slow. If you're an aggressive manager, leader type, almost any speed is too slow. But particularly in Washington, where you have some large bureaucratic organizations, there's a high level of frustration from time to time on getting timely decisions made. What I have found, however, is that over time, you learn how to cut some of the corners and get things done much more quickly than you might ordinarily be able to do so. For example, in the procurement area, procurement has become a huge business in the Washington area, especially in government. There are vehicles that you can use to affect a procurement much more quickly than if you follow the regular procurement route. A lot of people aren't aware of that. So there are ways to get things done faster in an environment that normally slows you down when you're trying to get things accomplished.
Yeah, those are some interesting insights. How is performance of loan programs measured? We'll ask Keith Pettigo of the Department of Veterans Affairs to tell us about this when our conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hours.